Asmin maha yogamai Omokshu sarane sura Adishu shiva masinam Taktamasa nirantakam. Translation: the demigods saw Lord Shiva sitting under that tree, which was competent to give perfection to mystic yogis and deliver all people. As great as time eternal, he appeared to have given up all anger. In this verse, the word Maha Yogamayi is very significant. Yoga means meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Maha Yoga means those who engage in the devotional service of Vishnu. Meditation means remembering Smaranam. There are 9 different kinds of devotional service, of which Smaranam is one process. The yogi remembers the form of Vishnu within his heart. Thus, there were many devotees engaged in meditation on Lord Vishnu under the big banyan tree. The Sanskrit word maha is derived from the affix mahat. This affix is used when there is a great number of quantity. So maha yogi indicates there were many great yogis and devotees meditating on the form of Lord Vishnu. Generally, such meditators are desirous of liberation from material bondage, and they are promoted to the spiritual world, to one of the Vaikunthas. Liberation means freedom from material bondage or omniscience. In the material world, we are suffering life after life because of our bodily identification. And liberation is freedom from that miserable condition of life. End of quote. I read from 31, text 31. The demigods are going with Lord Brahma to visit Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva has become very disturbed and destroyed the attempt at performing the yajna by Lord Daksha, Vajapati. So now they've gone to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma suggested that they go and apologize to Lord Shiva. They made a big mistake in offending Lord Shiva, misunderstanding his greatness. So on their way to Kailash, and there was a very elaborate descriptions in the previous slokas of how beautiful that surrounding area is. So this 31, they also saw that the bathing ghats and their staircases were made of Vaidurya Mani, a semi-precious stone. The water was full of lotus flowers. Passing by such lakes, the demigods reached a place where there was a great banyan tree. The banyan tree was 800 miles high, and its branches spread over 600 miles around. The tree cast a fine shade which permanently cooled the temperature, yet there was no noise of birds. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Generally, in every tree there are bird nests, and the birds congregate in the evening and create noise. But it appears in this banyan that this banyan tree was devoid of nests, and therefore it was calm, quiet and peaceful. There were no disturbances from noise or heat, and therefore this place was just suitable for meditation. And the purport. Translation again, 33. The demigods saw Lord Shiva sitting under that tree, which is competent to give perfection to mystic yogis and deliver all people. As grave as time eternal, he appeared to have given up all anger. So here we, in these histories, these stories, we're learning many things, but we're also learning about the geography. What wonderful places there are in this universe. So here we're very high up in the universe. We're going up to Kailash, Shivaloka. So there, everything is in the mode of goodness. The higher you move up in the universe, the lesser the mode of passion and ignorance. So up there, there'll be absence of passion and ignorance. And it's very appealing. The atmosphere there is very wonderful. We've been hearing for the last few days how what a fantastic place paradise, what we generally call paradise or heaven. Everything, it was very pleasing, everything. So it's ideal for sense gratification. The sights, it was like they're going through these hills and mountains. They're like gardens, you know, beautiful flowers, trees, and animals and birds. Waterfalls, you can hear the sounds of the birds and the cuckoos, the peacocks, and the bees. Like a symphony is going on. Wonderful melodies. Oh, there's no disharmony there. It's so sweet, so captivating. And there you see the animals, the people are all beautiful. It says they have mystic powers. This is very perfect people that the demigods come there to enjoy. Also, they have the ability to, some of them have the ability to attain that place, so they go with their wives and their airplanes, which fly without engines. So very graceful, and the different shapes of airplanes, they have whatever shape they want. They have vahana, like flower airplanes and swan airplanes, like Lord Brahma has. So they're very pretty, very graceful. They're moving around silently, and it's very opulent there. Yeah? There's fruits, vegetables everywhere. In other words, no work. In the lower regions, you have to work hard. To exist is difficult. But there, it's not difficult at all to exist. Everything is easy available. You're almost at Vaikuntha here. So everything is easily available. Minerals. So that means that people are very beautiful, very happy, satisfied. And everything's available. So there's no lacking there. Like we feel here a lacking. There's always this time and space to achieve our desires. We like to make everything nice, right? In the material, we're always trying to improve the situation, trying to make everything nice. But we're subject to time and space to achieve our objective. But there, everything was already nice. There's no need of adjustment. The atmosphere was perfect in the mode of goodness. The atmosphere was perfect. That means you don't have to endeavor, you don't have to work to achieve some a peaceful situation so you can be happy. The situation is already created there, that is the ambience. So just imagine, it's very wonderful. There's no lacking there. Whatever you want is available. Of course, those people that have mystic powers also is very advanced. So there's no work. There's no fear, there's no anxiety. So what a contrast to this place, the Earth planet, where there's so much anxiety, so much work we have to do to maintain. So this is a dream of us human beings. If only the Earth was like that, right? And this is the endeavors of all our everyone would like that. Most people. Who's interested in going back to Godhead? And no one, who knows what Godhead is even? So everyone's endeavoring to make this place like that, right? Everyone wants a world which is free of ignorance and poverty and want and advancement of science, so that living becomes very easy. This is what everyone's promoting. The government, all the governments, they want this. But it's not to be on this world. This is already fixed. This is a middle planetary systems, and you're mixed here with goodness, passion, and ignorance are mixed here. So you can't have that state here. This is constantly changing. But there, it's predominantly always a mode of goodness. The mode and passion and ignorance are hardly seen. So that's what. That's what everyone dreams about, this heavenly situation. So much opportunity there. No anxiety, no fear. Fearing, the two aspects of fearing or defending and enjoying, which is a prominent feature of life in the material world. Most of our time is taken up in defense. So that's absent there. So there's so much free time. You have all the time in the world just to enjoy it. There's no that. Don't have to defend anything. There's nothing to work for, to create. There's no situation to create, which in this world, in this planet, takes such a long time to create a nice environment in which you can actually enjoy it. And then after a while it will change. But there, that environment's already created. That's the ambience of the place. So you don't have to work, so you have so much time. And then what do you do? The next thing is enjoying, right? Eating, sleeping, defending. When they're not a problem anymore, then you think about how can I enjoy it, when those problems are resolved. There, those problems don't exist. So there's only one thing to do now, is you can enjoy it like anything. that's a result of pious activities, that you can achieve this situation, not by your hard work, not by passion and ignorance it is achieved, not by working hard to create your own heaven, build a stairway to heaven by your mechanical means. It doesn't work like that. One has to have a body suitable to live in that environment, that one has to develop a body predominantly of goodness. So then there are prescribed activities and consciousness to act here, so we can develop that suitable body to be permitted in those regions. Like Prabhupada said, when you go to a country here, first of all they want to stop at the customs, stop. Show your passport. Give that example. What do you want? You're fearful sometimes. What have I done wrong? What do you want? Why are you coming to this country? Plus so many formalities. Get a visa. And so like that. It's like that in the other planets also. You have to have qualification to go there. You have to have recommendation to go there. That qualification is your pious activities, your pious credit. It's just a festival for the senses going on there. All the wonderful sounds, sweet sounds of the cuckoos and the bees and the birds, different types of things, and the wonderful sights, the colors. There's so many, and with so many scented flowers there, the kumbha, the jasmines and kadambas and buckle and so many other champas. So there's fantastic fragrances there also. So you get bombarded, all the senses of completely satisfied, everything is, it's a festival. You can go anywhere. You can follow your nose, you can follow your eyes, you can follow your ears, you can follow the heart sense of touch, because it must be there also, the ambience must be there, the atmosphere must be very pleasing. So anywhere you want to go, it's happiness. It's already created. A festival for the senses. And no fear. No fear. But that's perfection. Perfection of material life. So anyway, passing through this, we reach this huge banyan tree. It's a yojana, 100 yojanas, 800 miles high. Huge. And 600 miles wide. That means, about 600 miles from here. Vrindavan's about 1,000, I think. So, halfway to Vrindavan. From here to Banaras, past Banaras. In other words, it's a whole world, practically speaking. You can live there. And so you stepped out of this festival of senses, into this very serene atmosphere. So peaceful. So nice. There the people aren't so much interested in sense gratification. They're yogis. They're meditating devotees, meditating on the form of the Lord in that area. And there's no birds to make a disturbance. But it says at night time the birds come and congregate and make that sound. Notice in this Brahmacharya ashram, outside the Brahmacharya ashram, hundreds of sparrows come at night. I also noticed when I was at a dosha outside that girls group or in those bamboo trees, hundreds of birds come there. Very noisy for about 15 minutes. I don't know, you probably outside your house, you may have it also with trees where they come. But here's no disturbance. Very peaceful. And Lord Shiva is there, giving instruction. And all the serious devotees, the Jnanas, the Pautamaras, will be there. They have that. They could be outside. They could be outside enjoying that festival of unlimited happiness. So we should question, why are they sitting there? Why are they sitting inside? Doing nothing. The whole party going on outside. Fantastic situation. So it would indicate that there's something better. They've actually got something better. Because materially, that you can't improve on that situation outside. Fantastic. But why are they left that when they're coming under the shade of the old banyan tree? The Prabhupada mentions in the purple yoga, they're sitting in meditation. Yoga means meditation. And Maha yoga means those who engage in service of Vishnu. It means the greatest yogis are the ones that actually engage in service. It means that those devotees are greater than the yogis. Because the yogis, they're meditating on the Lord Vishnu, but their meditation is just passive. They're just meditating on the form of the Lord with his forearms, with his yellow cloth and curly hair. His ornaments and his weapons, very beautiful. Teacher is smiling at them, and that's about the interaction that goes on in feeling so much bliss, seeing the Lord, and he's reciprocating by smiling. But the devotees, they're actually engaged in active service to the Lord. So then that pleasure changes. It's not just passive adoration. it's active, and therefore, because of the variety of activities, the variety of relationships, then that the ecstasy it will also change. There'll be varieties of ecstasy. It won't be one consistent ecstasy like the yogis feel. So that would be more, it would be more actually pleasing, seeing we are persons, seeing we are living entities. It would actually be more pleasing, because we're meant for that. So you can, anyway, we can just imagine what it's like to establish a relationship with the Lord. Through meditation or passive, active or hearing, whatever it is, that they're perfectly peaceful. That's so satisfying that they can give up all this other fine enjoyment. Even though that's quite a natural thing to do. Since we're persons and we're active persons, and the purpose of existence is pleasure, still they're finding more pleasure in ceasing from that. because now they have their contact in the Lord, Vishnu. I explained the other day that happiness derived from Vishnu is much greater than anything else. Because outside, you can enjoy all that facility, but you may be separate from the Lord, enjoying the facility. It's me, my senses, and the facility which is offered. So you can get lost in that happiness. So I guess these yogis, again, is they know the situation in the material world. They're not going to take any chance that you may, because nothing is permanent in the material world. You can't stay there forever, even in Kailash area. But obviously it is a natural thing to do. But now we're still in the material world. In the spiritual world, we see the ambient air is much, much greater than what we're hearing about here. We're very close now to Vaikuntha. So the ambience is even more refined there, because it's actually spiritual. It's Shuddha Sattva, not just Sattva. not just goodness, it's pure goodness. That means there's not a hint of passionate ignorance at all. And it's spiritual. It's a different dimensions. And it's extraordinarily wonderful. Also the sense gratification, the Vaikuntha, the spiritual world is also made for sense gratification, much better. Here sense gratification is great in the Rupa Maharaj has given a class on even on Brahma Loka. He's very fine on Brahma Loka. Maybe made of mind, that maybe the same substance as mind. Very fine. That when you appreciate something there, some beautiful thing, big banyan tree, very, very peaceful, satisfying ambience there. Here we see Lord Shiva is not in meditation, he's talking, he's giving knowledge of devotional service there. So he's actively engaged, because Lord Shiva is a perfect person. When in the full conception, the ultimate development of our existence, there is sense gratification is there. We're living in an environment of sense gratification in the spiritual world. That's what we see in Vaikuntha, in Golok, in all of those planets. It's all made for sense gratification. But because Krishna's there, because there's a relationship with Krishna, then that's so wonderful, that relationship with Krishna is so satisfying, so ecstatic, that this other facility is not you won't deviate, you won't leave that. However wonderful this opportunities of sense gratification are, easily available, no endeavor, but you're so satisfied with your relationship with Krishna, you're feeling so complete, that why would you bother to try to satisfy your senses somewhere else? Your senses are completely satisfied in the relationship with Krishna, because that's your actual constitution. That's how we're created, if we can understand we're created. We're created like that. So that's perfection of existence. You've attained your actual original situation. There's nothing lacking there. It's perfect. You've been created, we're part of the Lord. Been created by the Lord. He's expanded himself and given his parts a separate identity. So that perfect, must be perfect, because it's coming from the all-perfect Lord. It's just when we misuse our freedom of independence and then search elsewhere, then we leave that environment, and then if you keep on misusing it, you keep moving away from that environment, from Goloka to Mathura to Dwarka to Ayodhya to Vaikuntha, and then material world. Then you have to stop, and then you have to, the material world will gradually push you back again. But it's difficult here. That's misuse of one's freedom. But when the relationship is there, then that's, of course, everything is perfect in the spiritual world. Perfect, more perfect than most perfect. Huh? Golok, Mathura, Dwarka. They're all perfect, but you'll see the personality of Godhead in perfection in Golok, not outside. Because you won't see outside, you won't see his sweet personality, that sweetness of his personality, intimate dealings with his devotees. You won't see so much outside of Vrindavan. In Vrindavan you see it all the time, everywhere, with everyone. Outside is not so much. Then it'll be more private and directly with these more intimate relations or devotees. But in Vrindavan it's with everyone. And then again, it gets more intimate also. So that's we get in all these descriptions here in the Srimad Bhagavatam just to contemplate, hey, what we're looking for. What kind of pleasure are we looking for? What do we want in what do we want out of life? Or next life? So we got the whole range here of the perfection, material perfection, and more than that perfection. In other words, you've got material, the perfection of karma. Perfection of karma is you go to swaga, where you can enjoy without any hindrance. And the perfection of jnana, the yogis, they become free from all that. the atmosphere in Kailash is perfect for both. It's perfect for sense enjoyment and it's perfect for renunciation. There's no disturbance. There's no these other places. Adhyatmic, Adivortic, Adidevic. So whatever you want to do is perfect there. So we see there are two classes of people here. Some are enjoying the environment of the sensual environment, and some are enjoying the environment of seclusion or absence of this sensual perception. Peace, shanti. They value that. Different people. Different people have different tastes. but the real thing would be a mixture of both of those. Or not really a mixture, because over and above that, then you would actually want to the freedom from the interaction of the senses. That's your liberation. So from that peaceful situation, then the actual your relationship with Krishna can really, you know, you can really perceive your Krishna's presence. You can experience his presence from that point of liberation, you know, in a solid way, permanent way, because you're not influenced anymore by the senses. So this environment is already created under that banyan tree. There wasn't much need to adjust. So they can meditate peacefully. Then they can meditate on the Lord himself after being freed from the... So it means that there's still some material conceptions here. Right? There's still more to go. We're still considering. They're meditating on something. They still have something to achieve. So it means there's more to go, even there. And so they're all fortunate. They're practically all liberated souls on that planet, on this area here. So then now they're mahayogis. They're meditating on the super soul, on the personality of Godhead. So they're all the perfect persons. But in the spiritual world, you'll have both of them there. There won't be any meditation in the spiritual world. There's nothing to achieve there. So you'll have that. You'll have those two aspects of the ultimate sense gratification is there. Eyes, nose, touch, smell, everything is fantastic. Everything, Chintamani. Yeah? Plus, you have the relationship with Krishna. So then you actually get the best of both worlds. The other part would be absent there. There's no need for that. There's no need to endeavor for anything. So the practice of yoga and to become free from anything wouldn't be there. So it'd just be those two things. So the senses will be really enjoying, but they would be enjoying anyway, because that's the natural environment. Everything is pleasing to the senses. The senses automatically please without separate endeavor. But you won't get carried away by that, because your relationship with Krishna is so wonderful that this is just normal. This is what we would consider the most fantastic sense gratification. It's just like we think of water here, you know, drinking water. There's water. We don't think water is very special. Because it's easily available, and the air we breathe, we don't think about the air, or the water we drink, it's very easily available. So there, everything, all the sense gratification is just common like that. So they have that, they've established their relationship with Krishna, and so there's not much inclination to endeavor for anything else, because you generally endeavor to improve our situation. So there's nothing outside of, anything outside of your relationship with Krishna is down. So why would one move away from that situation? But the consciousness would be pure, and this self-interest wouldn't be there. Now we're speaking from the platform of self-interest, because that's all we know. But there, your self-interest is already automatically taken care of. Sense gratification is there. Peace is there, and sense gratification is already there. That's the ambience of the place. There's no need to endeavor for karma or gyan or for enjoying or liberation. There's no need. It's already there. That's the ambience of the place. There is no Vaikuntha. There's no anxiety. ever increasing pleasure. So then there's no separate interest. There's no need to desire anything else. Those desires are automatically taken care of. But because of the relationship with Krishna, what seems important now is not important anymore, because it's already available, and you've got something much better. It's there all the time. The fantastic, what we think is fantastic now, is all the time there. Any way you look, any way you smell, any way you taste, any way you feel, it's all the top. You can't improve on that. So that's the normal ambience, but you've got your relationship with Krishna. So we can only try to imagine to be in that situation. Nothing lacking. So just imagine how sweet, how wonderful that our relationship is with Krishna. If the topmost pleasures, the topmost peace, what we're searching for in life, there will no interest anymore. So these descriptions are to give an impetus, to give us an idea of what the reality actually is in devotion to Krishna. Otherwise, why are these people sitting down meditating when there's a party going on outside? Party for the senses. So you get both. In the spiritual world, everything is there, nothing lacking. But that relationship with Krishna is so extraordinary, because it's always changing, it's always full of different nuances, and it's with the rasa, these emotions, they're coming in, they're always feeling all the time according to the activities and the pastimes. So the ecstasy comes in so many different ways, which is called rasa. So sometimes it's intense and not so intense, sometimes it's from extreme to... It's a constant it's a constant festival of ecstasy there. Like waves constantly coming. So it's always fresh, it's always different. It's not static like the yogis and who want to go to Brahman. Ever fresh, always is that Navayovana, ever fresh, ever young. So that's our birthright, that's our actual constitution. So hearing about these descriptions, then it's easier for us to say no to Maya, because we know we say yes to Maya here to satisfy our senses. The result is a little satisfaction, then reaction, you're going to come back and take birth again. It's not worth it. Not worth it. But we need knowledge, transcendental knowledge, and our intelligence need to be fortified to be able to resist or desist from our search for security and happiness in this material world, because we've been doing it for so long. So we've got to be convinced. So these stories help us, will convince us. These people, we've got examples here of people are doing it. Why are they doing it? They've achieved anything fantastic materially. It's at their fingertips. But they're not taking it. Why? We should ask this question. So not only are we getting a geography lesson here, we're getting a lesson on the ultimate good. and we're getting encouragement and reinforcement that we're going to stick to the principle of devotional service under all circumstances. Our intelligence will become more one-pointed and not so easily deviated. So that's why it's recommended that we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, so we become fixed and we're not so much moved by the influence of Maya when she comes in so many different ways. We're almost out of the material world here in Kailash, right at the edge of the material world. very nice place. There's more to go. Jai Shri Krishna Taitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sri Gaur Bhakta Vindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Any comments or questions? What to say, Ghi Mataji?
So if you're saying Vaikuntha and Dwarka and Goloka, they're all the spiritual realm and they're all perfect, so but Goloka is, you know, the highest, so why do the other two even exist?
Why do they have to?
Even exist. I mean, okay, Dwarka, you know, is a place of Krishna's pastimes, but Vaikuntha, what is the purpose of Vaikuntha? You know, when we read that, you know, it's, a devotee is not interested in attaining the same form as Vishnu, and that's, you know, what happens in Vaikuntha. In Goloka, there is anxiety. There's so much anxiety amongst all the residents of Vrindavan. Mother Yashoda is always in anxiety. Radharani is always in anxiety. The gopis. So, you know, all these things exist in Goloka in their perfect form, but you know, Vaikuntha is this perfect realm where there's no anxiety, everyone has the form of Krishna, Vishnu. So what's its and if Goloka is higher than that, then do the residents of Vaikuntha, I mean, well, we know the residents of Vaikuntha don't aspire necessarily to go to Krishna Loka, they're perfectly content in Vaikuntha. So
well, the residents of Vaikuntha, they wherever you are in the spiritual world, it's perfect for you. So there's no really, there won't be any impetus to move on, advance. There'll be nowhere to advance to because it's perfect, you see, for you. But you know, some people they like that relationship, even the because in Vaikuntha, it means even someone has slight material desires, selfish desires, they go there, you see. They desire a body like the Lord, four arms, they desire to live on the same planet, the same opulence. There's self-interest there. So to cater for all the different mentalities, for all the different types of devotees, then the Vrindavan expands into those different areas.
So then self-interest that's present in the Vaikuntha Basis, that's eternal? That's an eternal facet of their...
Well, that's what they wanted, and that's what they got, whether it's...
And they're completely content with that eternally?
They're completely content. Even sometimes they don't see Vishnu, but they know he's there, and, you know, I heard that even he's... There's not too much interest, and they go and visit him sometimes, but this, you know, as a daily life, that, you know, this, it's a perfect life for them. So that, but then even without a direct association of the Lord, they're living very happily and peacefully. So that's because of their desire like that. So it's, one is fortunate, he hears about the supreme personality. If one is fortunate, he hears about that, then one will be curious to see how the Lord deals, how he walks, you know, all the, what kind of person he actually is. You've got those on Vaikuntha also, and they're the intimate associates of the Lord. But there are also others who've achieved perfection, and Krishna's and they live like that happily ever after. So they don't really aspire to move on. So therefore, but they don't see the sweetness of God's or Krishna in Vrindavan. Then you hear about it, but still, you know.
Prabhu, whenever I hear a description of our relationship with Krishna being the most satisfying and fulfilling and complete, and there's nothing more to be desired, I honestly wonder, were we really there? Why would the living entity even consider that there might be something better? It's it really comes up every time I hear this, and I feel like an atheist or something. But
that's the old eternal question: Why do we leave if it's so nice?
Yeah.
Ridiculous that we're here. Anyway, that's the subject of
books.
Controversy also. People have different philosophies, etc. But it says even Balaram desired to be Krishna one time. Maybe there's no envy there, obviously, but it may be. I wonder how Krishna experiences. I wonder how Krishna experiences it. Well, it's great here, but I wonder what he feels. You want to be like him, so you can have that opportunity. Try and take his position. So that's what we're trying to do. And this is the bottom line in the material world. We're trying to imitate Krishna. We want to control our situation and we want to enjoy the situation. But this is why it's called Maya. We're not who we think we are. Krishna, no?
Yesterday it was mentioned in the class, and today also, that in order to leave aside those egoistic motives we have.
Please speak a little closer.
In order to put aside the egoistic motives we have, the self-centered desire, we need to have a higher taste. Yesterday Prabhu said in the lecture. So this higher taste, sometimes we are in association of devotees, and we are supposed through the association of devotees to find this higher taste. But sometimes we feel void, or we feel that this is not there, and the association is not coming. And many devotees sometimes they lament that we are all together, but we are also too much alone. We are like pulling our own boat, everyone. So my fear is that I become very hard in my heart because of not finding this higher taste or this association I need. I'm always thinking, where is this association, where is it? What you comment about?
Yeah, that's why we call conditioned souls. We're not situated properly. We're hankering for something. That means we haven't got it. We want that relationship with Krishna, because we've forgotten that relationship with Krishna. We associate with devotees, but still it's not coming as quick as we want it to come. It's the same thing. As long as that bodily identification is there, that we're the doers, we're the controllers, then until you give that up, it will persist like that, because Krishna is going to reciprocate. If you think you're the controller, then you work it out. You figure out how to get me. But you have to surrender to Krishna, then he's obliged. If you become dependent on him, then he's obliged to supply all your needs. But if we think that it's dependent on us, then Krishna will say, okay, you do it. So this is the problem. And he says to get a higher taste, you have to give up, you experience a higher taste by giving up a lower taste by experiencing a higher taste. But in other places it says, unless you experience a higher taste, how you can give up a lower taste? So there's another little catch-22 there also. It's faith. we're getting taste in the material world, from sense gratification. And we have to give that up. That is our part. Krishna reciprocate. This is a sacrifice we're making, because if we don't give that up, it means we're still dependent on that sense gratification. We're taking shelter there for our happiness, and we're not going to Krishna. So one has to give up those that the idea of security and happiness in the material world. And as long as you have it, then you're not going to get it from Krishna, because your choice is you're looking to material world for that. By your endeavor, you're looking here for those two things. That's a conditional disease, and we're not willing to let that go on faith. Now we want that. We say to Krishna, you give me that taste, then I can let go. But that's not how it works. Krishna says, you surrender them to me and I will reciprocate. So we're doing the thinking, feeling and willing. Now we have to, with that endeavor, we have to say no to material shelter, material happiness, and depend on Krishna for it. And it may not come when we want it. Even if you give up by what we're doing, superficially we're doing, I mean, we're actually doing at least on a practice of sadhana bhakti, we have our limitations, but we have four rules and regulations, for instance, as the parameter, the outside parameter. Then there's a more subtle regions we have to work on also, but we're unwilling to do that. It's very difficult for a conditioned soul to do that, to give up the idea that there is any real shelter or happiness in the material world, because we felt shelter and we felt happiness in the material world. But the result is because we're attached to that, because it's a source, there is some sensation of happiness and security, then we're going to get a material reaction. It's going to bring us back again into the material world. So that's perfection is also a catch-22. You're getting peace and happiness here, but that same peace and happiness, the endeavor to get that, you'll have to come back and get the reaction. It's karma, you see. So that's going to bring you back into the material world again. What you want to relieve the problems of life will bring you back into the material world again. You want to create a situation where you're feeling comfortable, there's no problems, and then you can enjoy. So both, you're taking shelter in the material world. You're taking shelter in your own endeavor, your thinking, feeling and willing. But we're not dependent on Krishna, we're dependent on our own perception, you see. So unless you give that up, Krishna's not going to, he's giving you, if you give it up, then he'll protect you, he'll give you everything. But he doesn't say when. But he'll do it. But that's faith. You believe Krishna or not. And how long can you say no to shelter and happiness for? So he says, by experiencing the higher taste, you can give up the lower taste. So sometimes he gives a little taste. A few moments, right? He opens the curtains. And then you feel some high taste, some ecstasy. Spiritual. So you know it's there. You do know it's there, that experience, that spiritual reality is there, because you felt it for some moments, right? Everyone has some ecstatic experiences. So it is there, and that's the Krishna showing it's there to keep you going. So now we got to work on it. But it's our faith, how much we're actually going to follow Krishna's advice. Because it says proportionately, as you give up the desire to enjoy materially, then you advance spiritually. And as soon as you desire, then you go down spiritually, more or less. The security is there, but your consciousness will be more evolved in material. So material world is fantastic. Fantastic. If you give your heart to the material world, that's it. It's your world. It's fantastic. Not all of it, but it's fantastic. it is reality, what we know. It's fantastic when life is fantastic, right? As is ups and downs, but the ups are fantastic. When you become Krishna conscious, it's fantastic. Maya is the expansion of Radharani. So they're both fantastic. Sense material sense gratification is fantastic. Spirituality is also fantastic. But you can't have both together. When you're in one, it's great, and then the other one's forgotten. So we've got to make that conscious endeavor to project ourselves towards the spirituality. And then that experience may not come. That's revelation. That experience comes by Krishna's mercy. Maya always gives you the experience immediately. She's very good. She pays up immediately. But Krishna's, he's checking. If it was instantaneous, immediately everyone would become spiritualist. If it worked instant, if it worked like material laws, everyone would give up immediately because you get some greater pleasure. So immediately you wouldn't turn back again. So, but it's not like that, because we still will go to Krishna. We may not be going to Krishna with affection or love. We still may be embers of Krishna, but we're getting so much pleasure that we would do it anyway. So what's the use for Krishna? What's the use? There's no rasa for him. So he wants us to voluntarily do that. He wants us voluntarily to come to him with affection. Same question. Same thing.
What will give us the strength or the resistance to survive during that change?
I can't hear what you're saying, sorry.
What gives us the resistance to survive during that change when you leave your material attachment for Krishna, but you are not yet having the taste that Krishna is taking care of you fully, and during that period you are suffering and you feel insecure, and sometimes you lose your self-confidence and your capacity to, like you said before, we have the tendency to control, to organize our life and everything. So when you lose this because you want to leave everything, and then you become like a child and you are not anymore able to deal with the reality of this world, and Krishna is not there yet to fully, he takes care of, he manifests but not full time. So sometimes there are void moments where there is a lot of suffering because there is no shelter from the material world and there is no shelter from the spiritual world. So what is the, I thought the association of devotees is the shelter in this case, in that situation. But sometimes it's not there.
It's always there. The instruction of devotees is always there. And then there's all varieties of devotees also.
Or sometimes we may not want to disturb other devotees with our situation and go there and lament or express what we are going through, and we think we have to deal with it between me and Krishna. But then we are in that situation and that suffering, sometimes it may be too much.
Yes, this is called an anta-nivritti. These are the problems that everyone goes through to different degrees. Some people have more problems and some people have less problems, that's all. But we all have the same set of problems. We all have the same set of problem of surrendering to Maya, or giving up Maya and surrendering to Krishna. We all have those problems because of our attachment to Maya. But some of us are more attached than others. So therefore we have more difficult time. It takes longer. But it's the same program for everyone. But everyone is on a different level, you see. But the instructions are always, the instruction is the same for everyone. There's no separate instructions for separate people. 9 devotional processes. What's stopping you from doing it? So it's only when you say you come overwhelmed, that's just weak-heartedness. Oh, it's too much, I'm overwhelmed by Maya and I'm not getting taste from Krishna, and you become despondent. No, that's just weak-hearted. Choice is there. You can engage in Maya service or you can engage in Krishna service. That's your freedom. you can do it knowingly. You can engage in Maya service. I'm getting more pleasure from... So this is what we've been doing whole life, for millions of births probably. And now we're trying to come to Krishna consciousness. But the base of the ground zero is I'm this body, I'm the controller and the enjoyer. That's the false ego. It's very strongly rooted here. So now we're trying to switch that to Krishna. But then it pulls us back. Then we go again. Then it pulls us back. Then we go again. But most of the time, in the beginning of devotional service, we're in this bodily conception of life that I'm the controller and enjoyer. I'm the doer. I am this body, I am this identity. That's our roots. So So it's very difficult. You can't just root, uproot everything and just surrender. We'd say nobody does that. Few exceptions. So it takes time, but you have to be consistently do it. Then by Krishna's mercy, you'll gradually become easier and easier to do that. That's the point. It's called anatta nivritti. They're anattas. A material attachment is an anatta. So nothing. You just have to go through the same process as everyone else.
What is a shelter when the suffering is too intense? When the suffering is very strong because of this effort and...
What is a shelter when the suffering is very strong? Then you have to take shelter of philosophy. Because I was such a rascal when I didn't surrender in my last lifetime, I'm suffering now. If I had surrendered in my last lifetime and give up what I like and what I don't like and my weaknesses, petty weaknesses, I wouldn't have to be doing it again. And if I don't do it in this life, I'll have to come back and do it again. Sooner or later, I've got to go through this. So you can do it quickly, or it depends on our own sincerity, how quickly we go back to God. It ultimately, it's the Lord's mercy, of course. But if it depends, on our strong desire. So therefore, you need that good association, a good sadhana, to make that strong. Because already we have a strong attachment to Maya. You're not different, I'm not different from anyone. We all have the same set of problems to different degrees. That's all. And there's 9 cures. Shravanam, Kirtan, Vishnu, Smaranam, Acharanam, Vandanam. That's the one program for everyone. That is our shelter. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much. Prabhu, a slight variation of the same question. This lack of shelter, or even though there may be understanding to some extent, during pain and poverty, when somebody is going through intense physical pain, or when one is going through poverty, extreme poverty and distress, even though the desire to take shelter of Krishna may be very strong, the conception that I am the body becomes also very strong. So how does one really, break the conception and take only Krishna in such a scenario?
Well, obviously more difficult in that situation, generally. Sometimes it helps. Sometimes you're so exasperated, you just have to. There's no alternative but to surrender to Krishna. But it means you got a lot of bad karma. You're in poverty. You're just thinking about the next meal. If you don't have anything, that means we were simple in our last life. We got this situation now, and then we have these other whatever illnesses coming. It's all coming from sinful activities previously. So we don't have anyone to blame but ourselves. So therefore those simple people, it's going to be more, their life will be more troublesome. Who were sinful in the last life, their life will be more troublesome this lifetime. But it doesn't matter, as long as they're sincerely endeavoring to practice devotional service, they also go back to Godhead. As well as those persons that are very pious and they accept devotional service, they fly, they're happy, they're no anxiety, they're always in ecstasy, they go back to Godhead, and the other one, they all go back to Godhead. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line, the one goes back to Godhead with anxiety and suffering, and the other one goes back in great jubilation. So this, don't worry about too much about the demands of the body and mind. It's expected. It's a disease, you see. It's a growth that we have on us, and you got to live with it. Body means a bag of demands. That's all. So you have to just tolerate those demands, and as much as you can't tolerate, you have to meet. That's all. So according to your body, then you have different, lesser or more demands. According to the influence of passion or the influence of ignorance. But whatever, we've got the medicine, we've got the cure, we've got the process, and the process is for everyone. For those that are really down and those that are elevated. It's the same process. So don't lament too much about that. If you're really suffering, you go to those people who are suffering more than you. That'll ease the pain a little bit. You see someone who's more distressed than you, associate with them, then you won't feel so bad. Oh, life's not so bad after all. But it's the same problem, different degrees, that's all.
And Prabhu, the other issue is people, when they come through some distress, some mental disturbance, etc., they slowly give up the association of devotees, they reduce their chanting. They may have some faith in Krishna, but they say, oh, this is too difficult for me. And their whole mood is very pessimistic. And then their whole mood is pessimistic. They don't want to take advice, counseling. They're just like in that pessimistic mood. What is the remedy for such people?
What do they come for? Why are they... You mean devotees?
Yes, I mean devotees, people who are practicing, but then they get into this downturn cycle. They're going down, they don't want to seek help or...
Krishna says, those who are too attached to sense gratification, the resolute determination doesn't take place. It could be that, could be offences, just attachment to Maya mainly, then the mind will give, the mind will give so many reasons why you should give this path up, because of its attachment to something else, right? It means there's something else better. So that's the problem. We have tasted pleasure in the material world. That's the problem. There is pleasure there, but when you're there, then it's, you're going down. You're securing your next birth.
What if it is a combination of both, of offenses and desire for material pleasures? That may be the situation with an individual, and they're going down. How can that person be helped to get out of it?
How can you help? Somehow or other, you have to preach to them, give them prasadam, give them good association, engage them in some service, somehow or other. Depends. If it's an old devotee, it's very difficult because they know what they're doing. It's what they want, is it? They've made their choice. That's the freedom of the living entity. We have this. Prabhupada said that one of the sannyasis was going to get married, so all his godbrothers tried to preach to him, talk him out of it, but he wasn't listening. So eventually they went to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, he's a sannyasi, he wants to get married. she's not a beautiful lady. She's already been married. She's got children. We just can't understand why he's going, and we can't do anything about it. He won't listen to us, so we come to you. Prabhupada said it's very simple, three words. I like it. So he said, if they say I like it, he said there's nothing you can do about it, because that's his choice. That's his freedom. I like it. I want it.